Right, hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Doc Who Pod. I am Josh, and joined with me as always is my co-host Bradley Fuller.
Hello, hello. That's right, we are back without JP for the best episodes. Let's go.
Isn't it lovely to not have him here?
Oh, isn't it? Love him to bits, but this is new who. This is the good shit.
This is the juicy shit. It really is, isn't it? We obviously released a little clip last week of our rundown of the first three episodes. Now that we're back in full swing, I think we're going to dedicate sort of half an hour or so to this 73 yards, which really is a juicy episode.
Cool, half an hour is being a bit optimistic. I think it's going to take longer than that. There's so much going on here, mate.
I have got a shitload of notes. So let's just contextualise this. I watched it Saturday morning, and I've literally 20 minutes ago just finished a second rewatch. So that's what I'm coming from right now. What about you?
You've done a rewatch. Well, you've done a rewatch because when we did the specials, you didn't rewatch, did you? You just watched it once and reviewed.
This is the first of the new episodes that I've rewatched.
Okay.
The first one wanted to, by the way.
Really? Okay, yeah. Fair enough. I watched it midnight release, as you do in the UK.
Obviously.
On BBC iPlayer. And then I am now done a rewatch this morning. We are recording on a Sunday now, so I've done a rewatch Sunday morning. And I also had a quick watch of Doctor Who Confidential just to get a bit of inside
nice,
scoop.
Nice.
Which I'm not going to lie has frustrated me.
Oh, no. We'll talk about that. All right. So straight off the bat, let me give you an overview of my opinion. Liked it the first time I watched it. Thought it was quite creepy. Thought it was quite intriguing. Was disappointed with the ending. Second time I've watched it, I've got a load of notes. I've got a load of questions. I think I liked it more. And I think I'm more forgiving on the fact that it doesn't answer a lot of the questions that it opens up. There's one or two questions I think it should have answered. And I think it's got a duty to answer it this series. And if it doesn't, I think it will lower my ranking of this episode. But I don't think it's as many questions as people are asking. I think a lot of it is okay to be left to the imagination.
Yeah, okay. That's fair enough.
And you?
Yeah. I was going to say I enjoyed it more on a first watch. I still think it's a great episode. And in terms of ranking out of the new ones this series, I'd probably put it second behind Boom at the moment, I think.
Interesting.
But I think after a second watch, whether I'm just trying to pick holes, I don't have an issue with there being loads of questions and unanswered questions. So I like the mystery of that. And that's a lot of the part of Doctor Who that I enjoy. But I think I'm picking too many holes in the actual plot itself and the whole reasoning behind it, I think.
Okay.
Second watch, I don't think really helped that, especially then watching Doctor Who Confidential as well. But I did enjoy it. It was a good episode.
Intrigue. Go on, let's kick off then. What did you gain? No, okay, let's do this. Let's run through the episode because the episode's really split into two halves. A lot of questions are raised in the first half and then a lot of them aren't answered in the second half. Firstly, I just want to say it is wild that this episode has come out, a week after the UK's just announced a general election?
Yeah, tell me about it. How weird is that?
Like, what fucking good timing. That's insane.
Also, it's mad that this is the first Doctor Light episode we've had in apparently like 13 years. I don't think we've had one since, it must be David Tennant, first era.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know that he did.
I don't think Matt Smith and Peter only ever had me.
No, I don't
Jody
think Peter
definitely
did. No, that is very interesting, to be fair. I think it's pretty fucking solid as a Doctor Light episode. It kicks off immediately with no title sequence.
Yeah, I didn't realise that until I saw someone tweet that, to be fair. So I don't think it had a massive impact for me, but obviously, it's a bit random to miss out the title sequence.
This was going to be my question to you. So I watched it on Disney Plus, so I didn't realise either until a second rewatch. And it comes up with 73 yards by Russell T. Davis, like in the episode, which I thought was odd. Is it, like you said, just because it's supposed to make you feel uneasy and like, oh, something's not quite right here? Or, and again, maybe I'm just reading it too much into this, but this is like, it becomes presumably a closed time loop and its own pocket thing. Is there no time sequence in this because it's not part of the timeline?
It could also be that. I mean, where the title sequence fits in, I don't really know. But I also felt just watching it that I don't know where you would put the title sequence in, because it always feels like that title sequence is usually there's an opening scene, sort of sets the scene quickly, and then you have the opening credits. It don't feel like that this episode has that. This just fires off straight away. Within a couple of minutes, the Doctor's gone, and you're straight in trying to find out what's going on here.
Yeah, true. One more question then. I can't remember if we were speaking off air or on one of our previous podcasts, but we mentioned the theory that the whole thing is, this whole series is set in a TV show. Does this not have a title sequence because it's set outside of that TV show? And that's why there's no Doctor, and then it's a whole loop, and then it goes back to the beginning at the end, and then we're back in the TV show.
That's a good shout, I guess. But then for me, that would mean more so that, I don't know, I'd say we shouldn't really have the title sequence at all if the whole thing is in a TV show, because you wouldn't then have a TV show with Doctor Who title sequences in it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just so, so odd.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
You mentioned there, so the Doctor disappears. Firstly, this is the second episode on the trot that the Doctor stepped on something he shouldn't have stepped on.
Well, and you had Ruby step on something in the first episode that she shouldn't have done.
What did she step on in the
first episode? Theme going on. The butterfly. She turns into the...
Oh, the butterfly. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He needs to look where he's going. So we'll sort of circle back round to this at the end, but she obviously comes out of the TARDIS and she's like, oh, I've been to Wales twice to see the Shy Girls and to break this boy's heart. And then at the end of it, she's been three times. So does she remember this time loop or does she not? We'll talk about that more later. But the Roger Williams thing, I text you about halfway through this episode and you said I worked it out from the very beginning. Even halfway through this episode.
No, I'm about to say halfway through.
Yeah, about halfway through. But
even
halfway through, I was like, I genuinely believe that Roger App Williams line that the Doctor said, I was like, oh, that's just classic Stephen Moffat writing, talking about a future that we'll probably never see. I did not expect it at all to be in this episode.
Yeah, I agree with that, to be fair. Because funny, I mean, I didn't remember it at the time, but once it got to that point in the episode where it got to Roger doing the campaign, I remember seeing those things leaked in like pre-shoots and stuff.
Oh, really?
I remember that being leaked because everyone said, oh, maybe it's like a new version of the Master or something because of the whole Bo Saxton campaign. Obviously, it's not. But I did see, you know, a lot of people said it as well when you've done the Next Time trailer. How did this sort of like eerie start out episode in a Welsh town in a pub link to then going her? I'm sure I didn't see it in the episode as well, but I'm pretty sure it comes up with a picture of her, you know, when she's got the glass on and she's 40 and it said politics or something across the front. And I never saw that again. So
what do you mean?
I don't really know what happened there. In like the Next Time trailer, it shows there was a picture of Ruby with a glass on. It just said politics. I'm sure it said politics. Oh, I don't really know why they did that when they didn't have it in the episode. But yeah, it was a bit of a weird one.
I sort of, again, we'll talk about it in a bit, but I don't mind the sort of fact that it's based in two halves because, yeah, I don't know. Like it does feel very disconnected. Why does this Mad Jack, who's been locked away in this fairy circle ring, manifest 25 years later in, well, he's still Welsh, by the way, so he still had a Welsh upbringing. Maybe he was brought up in that town. Like they say, he used to drink at that pub and stuff like that. But yeah, why does it then manifest in the future that he's the most dangerous prime minister in history? I don't know. That does seem odd.
I mean, this fairy circle thing is weird, to be fair. But I don't know if I quite understand it right, but in my opinion, the fairy circle, I feel like that changed based on what happens with it. So when the Doctor stepped on it, I feel like that, you know, the little notes that were written, and it was like, rest in peace, Mad Jack. And the other one was, I miss you or something like that. Something like that. I felt like that was, A, he'd stepped on it because he stepped on it when he mentioned the prime minister or to be.
Okay.
So it then linked through that. And then I felt like I miss you was related to Ruby missing the Doctor. I've read it like that.
I see. And then obviously Kate mentions the perception filter is why no one can see the woman. Yeah. So that could be quite good, to be fair. Yeah.
Yeah, something along those
lines. I hadn't even thought about that. That's pretty interesting. What? Right. I know we're jumping ahead here. You know, at the end, old Ruby goes back to the TARDIS and everybody's leaving flowers and everything.
Yeah. Who's leaving flowers?
What? Like the TARDIS. Well, yeah. I think it's the people that spoke to the woman, because you zoom in on one note and it says, what does it say? 1 second. The note says, love you, on one line, and then underneath it says Josh. So it either says love you, Josh,
or love you
from Josh. And Josh was the guy from the pub from earlier.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I picked up on it because my name is Josh, obviously. So then when I saw that note at the end of the second watch, I was like, so has that been left by him, or has somebody left that to him? Do you know what I mean?
Maybe, yeah, but maybe it's that they're leaving flowers for the people who have died after interacting with the woman, because she says, as she's sitting there, I'm guessing my mum told me, and then she says, I never found my real mum. So maybe some of those flowers, that's why she's gone and laid flowers for her mum.
Yeah, potentially.
It's all people who have died who have interacted with the...
I don't know, man. Just so so many questions. So we get the first unanswered question, I think, in this episode. What happens to the Doctor?
Yeah, he just disappears. There's no explanation for it.
He doesn't run away, or unless he does off screen. But why wouldn't he run into the TARDIS? I mean, there's no reason for him to go at that point, unless he goes into this fairy circle thing. But I just don't know.
Like he's been transported somewhere, or he's just... I mean, I think overall it's just a bit boring here. I think it's just the fact that it needs to be a Doctor Light episode, and that was the way to do it. I don't think he's gone anywhere. I think he's just disappeared.
He broke the circle, basically
something like that. It's a quick reason to get rid of him, basically. But I didn't get why she couldn't get in the TARDIS. She had a key. Just because the Doctor's gone, why is the TARDIS now locked?
Yeah, this is what I mean. And again, it's because the story doesn't need her to be in the TARDIS, but just odd.
What's the reason for her not just being able to walk in the TARDIS, have a look around and walk back out?
Oh, that's a good point. She doesn't know how to fly it, so it's just another set at the end of the day. Yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah, what force has actually got rid of the Doctor and locked the TARDIS?
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know, man. I don't know. So then we see this woman. Genuinely.
Susan Twist?
Not Susan Twist. The sign language lady. Genuinely, yeah. Especially in the first half, properly creepy, I think.
Yeah, genuinely. And the fact that you never see her face is the most annoying part of it, because you just don't know what she is. It's just so creepy.
I was just before we came on, I was desperately Googling, is what she's doing sign language?
See, this, I was going to talk about this a bit later, but as you brought it up, we can talk about it now.
Go on.
Yes, it is sign language. I thought it was sign language when I was, and I made a note literally saying sign language ?
Yeah.
But obviously, I don't know sign language. I don't know what I said. And I really wanted to know what she's saying. Guessing you do too, because I'm guessing you still don't know.
No.
This is what annoyed me the most. I watch Doctor Who Confidential and speak to the woman who is doing the sign language, and she tells them and explains what she's doing. Do you want to know what she says, what the sign language means?
Go on.
So it means, bless you, thank you so much, that's so kind of you. When you gave me that little thing that was just so precious, how am I ever going to repay you? But I'll think of something. That is what she's doing.
What the fuck?
What does that mean? What's the point of that? Why is she saying all these kind things? The next thing also, just to talk about, that kind of links to that, that came out of Doctor Who Confidential, is obviously everyone wants to know what the woman is saying to the people to make them run away.
Yeah.
And Russell was turned around and said he's never going to tell anyone what it is. And all he's going to say is, he's basically saying that she's saying the worst thing that she could possibly say to that person to make them run away. So it's now down to us to think, what would they say to her mum to make her run away from her own daughter, or adopted daughter?
I'm okay with that. I'm fine with
I'm
that.
okay
The sign
with it.
language, less so.
Yeah.
But again, we'll come back to the question thing with the sign language thing. At the very end, when the woman consumes old Ruby or transforms into old Ruby or whatever the fuck happens there, she
Right, yeah,
starts
jumping forward.
saying, she starts saying, "Oh, I'm sorry it took so long, and thank you, and I'll look after you, and you look so young." And she, like, which just off the top of my head, I can't remember exactly what she says, but that sounds very similar to what's being signed.
Yeah, that's a good point, I guess.
What does it fucking mean?
Now that I think about it, then maybe those words that she's saying, it's because she's saying it to Ruby herself, basically.
Yeah,
transport,
because
as
she
it, as
is.
we mentioned,
She.
yeah.
It doesn't look like
Maybe
she
she's.
ever turns to talk to the people that comes over. Her sign is
Yeah, she's
never
still just
interrupted.
talking. She's still just talking to Ruby. So maybe she's saying to Ruby, thank you for, like, basically spending your life fixing your own life, sort of thing.
Yeah,
Like,
okay.
you've gone and done what you've done. Thank you for, like, giving your life back, sort of thing. Getting the
I'm
doctor
fine
back.
With that, I think. Yeah, okay.
Could be that.
At least I
Yeah.
know it's something. With the whole, we're never going to hear what she said to the people that ran away. Again, I kind of like that mystery because that there's no cause and effect. We know she says something and that leads to them running away. That's fixed. The only thing we don't know is what she's saying. And I think leaving that to the imagination side, if you look at Midnight, we have no idea what that monster was all about. And that works brilliantly. There's a Peter Capaldi episode called Listen. And the whole premise is there somebody in the room with you? And we never find out. And it's a great episode. So I'm absolutely fine with not knowing what she says. I think that's quite good being left up to the imagination, don't you think?
Yeah, no, now that I think about it, I do kind of agree. I mean, it's
I
frustrating, it
don't.
is, because you just want to know answers. But
Yeah, but I think
you look
that's
back
not
over
important enough to need an answer, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Agree.
Ruby starts running away or just walking away, and she bumps into Susan Twist.
Yep. Something's got to be going on with this Susan Twist. I want to know.
Well, I think she acknowledges that she recognizes the face. So that has to be proof that something is going to be happening with Susan Twist, no?
Yeah, I agree. And you can tell Russell. So Russell has also been asked about this as well. This was on, I only saw a clip of this on, you know, where they do the thing on BBC iPlayer now where they watch the episode and talk about it while they watch it?
The commentary, yeah.
Yeah, the commentary thing. They've done that on another episode, and Russell said, "Oh, it's just everyone thinks it's a thing, but it's not. We just needed an actress, and she was pretty good, so we got her involved in every episode, kind of thing."
I
And
don't
her
think
name's
I
Susan
believe a
Twist, and
fucking
they
word
mentioned
he
the
says anymore.
granddaughter. Yeah, I don't either. He's lying. He's trying to
I
just
think
throw people off
he
the scent.
is.
He's definitely involved somewhere.
Speaking of recurring characters, we also get Mrs. Flood, who I'm still sticking with my guns and saying she's nothing. She's just a cool neighbour.
She's a cool neighbour that breaks the fourth wall, knows what a TARDIS is, and knows the Doctor.
That was just a fun wink.
No, I don't believe it. I think she's more. I don't know what, and I don't want to say what, but she's. There's so many things it could be, but she's definitely involved. And the fact that she turns around and she says, she goes, "Oh, having a nice time," because she knows that she's been away with the Doctor, and then she says, "Oh, this one doesn't involve me," or something. So she's basically saying this plot isn't related to me. I've not done
No,
anything.
she says
Which
it's
means she's going to
nothing
be
to do
involved in
with
the
me
future.
because it's weird. It's just odd. That's what your neighbor would say. Like, nothing to do with me, you fucking weirdo. Anyway,
She's
I'm
either involved with the
sticking with it.
Master, or she is the Doctor's granddaughter or daughter or something like that. She's related to the Doctor somehow. She knows him. I don't know what,
No,
but she
she's
is.
nothing. She's nothing. So anyway, so Susan Twist then runs off. We then get the pub scene, which, like, genuinely, that's the creepiest Doctor Who we've had for years. I was genuinely,
100%.
like, on the edge of my seat. Like, fuck, what is actually about to
Mate,
happen? This is a bit mad.
try watching it at midnight, honestly. I thought I was going to have nightmares, literally.
Had you had a few to
The
drink
knocking
as
on the
well?
door bit was the worst. What?
Had you had a few to drink as well?
No, I hadn't, literally. I was getting up early the next day. I thought I didn't really want to watch it at midnight, but I thought, I know Josh is going to spoil it the next day, so I'm going to have to watch it. So I watched it at midnight. But yeah, when the knocking on the door started, that was like all those creepy bits before, but the knocking on the door, I thought, oh God, what's actually going to happen here now?
Now, all of it, the close-up shots, even the moody attitude of everybody in there, so fucking like genuinely just strange, I think. Really, really good. Yeah. That old woman that starts going, oh, there's a word for it, sempadistance or whatever she says. I thought was going to be more important. Like, I thought sempadistance would be like the spell that broke it or something. And it was just nothing. It was just a throwaway line.
Yeah, yeah. This is where I think I'm picking into holes a bit more as well. I thought that bit was good, to be fair. The old woman was quite creepy. And these things are all probably very pointless. I'm saying it however I get moaned at. I'm picking holes at this. But I just thought there was a lot of things in that pub scene that just really felt weird and just didn't really, I don't know what it was, just didn't seem right. Like the whole, it felt weird seeing her pay contactless by phone. I don't know why.
When that happened, I was like, oh shit, she's in the past. And then I was like, but wait, Susan Twist was wearing modern day clothes. Like, that threw me. Yeah. Like, I was like, fuck, this is crazy. There is a few like actual directing shots. So the woman behind the bar, there's one shot, she's behind the bar, then it cuts away and she's suddenly out turning the telly off. And it's a few little things like that, I think, just make you feel a little bit uneasy. All the close-up shots of the face, that's an actual horror movie technique to show unease. When someone's looking like, not directly at the camera, but a close-up, it's supposed to be creepy. So I think all of those things are supposed to. But I'm a bit like you. Was everything that was said in that pub just a joke? Or were they actually serious?
Yeah, that's the thing I get. They didn't know that Ruby was going to turn up there. Yet all of them decided to join in on that joke. The geezer that looked like Youngblood, he was saying some weird stuff about blood and stuff. Like,
oh, mate.
It was all so weird.
He says at one point, if Mad Jack's back, he'd kill me first, and you know why, don't you? Why?
Yeah, so what's he done?
Exactly. What's he done? The old lady, I think she mentions the spiteful one. Is that like another one who waits? But then they're all just having a laugh at the end. So is that all just a total waste of time?
Maybe they just do this quite a lot to like to tourists. Like, this is just a Welsh thing. They're quite funny and they all just bounce off each other's humour.
So I was,
do that. I don't know.
The first time I watched this Saturday morning was with Laura. She actively rolled her eyes and went, oh, it's just English bashing from the Welsh, and walked off. Like, she thought this is just like, you know, the Welsh being racist. Fine if it is. And it was genuinely, even if it is all a waste of time, I still thought it was worth being in there because it was genuinely good TV. But it just seemed a bit too specific to be a joke. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It was too orchestrated. Like, they planned that, it felt. And they didn't know Ruby was just going to turn up.
Just felt odd. But I think it was supposed to feel odd.
So we then... Again, another thing I'm going to... Just slightly, I'm going to pick out the pub thing. And this is where I'm frustrated about the fact that it's 73 yards, bang on. Like, it's 73 yards, no different. Always the same. And I'm telling you now, when Ruby is walking up to that pub and looks back, and then when she goes in the pub and looks out the window, the woman is the exact same distance away, yet Ruby has moved. So how? That woman's standing in the same place. So it's not 73 yards, it's a lie.
I think that's reading too much into it. I think
you
that's...
can't have a whole story named 73 yards doing that and then not do it properly. Especially when you then watch Doctor Who Confidential and say how much effort they put into measuring it out, getting camera angles looking closer and further away. And I can see she's literally standing in line with the wall. She's there and it's the same distance in two different places.
There must be some leeway, because when she's on the train and like the woman standing in the middle of the field, the train's whizzing past, but she's not moving. So there's going to be a bit of leeway.
I think that's
too nitpickety. Anything else to add about the pub?
Okay.
Or any of that initial Wales bit?
No, nothing serious. Serious, really. The only other thing I put down was the fact that how is the pricing so different that she got a hotel for 65 quid and then paid £5 for a Coke? A cheap hotel room but an expensive Coke. What's that about? Come on.
I was just thinking, because 5 quid is roughly 25 dirhams. I'm like, nah, I've paid more for a can of Coke than that, which is a bit upsetting.
Yeah, but you would in Dubai because it's imported.
Yeah,
over here especially a little girl. She basically had a half pint of Coke. That's like £2.50. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. She got totally ripped off. But she even comments it, didn't she? She even goes, how much? Anyway, she then cuts back to the UK. What does Ruby do at this point, by the way?
What do you mean? What does she do?
How is she affording 65 quid for a room, 5 quid for a Coke? She stays at that room for at least two nights. And then she's getting the train back to the UK.
She must have money.
Yeah, but that's a fair amount of money just to be splashing on your card out of nowhere. You know, it's not like Rose would never have been able to afford that.
I don't know. Do you know Rose worked a job? Ruby must have worked a job before. I don't think we know what Ruby does, but she had a job and then she gets a job in this episode. So she had, must have had some sort of backing. You know, if someone's, even if someone's on minimum wage, they're going to get about what? I don't know, $1,500 a month or something.
I suppose. I thought that was quite
interesting. They'd have had a couple hundred quid to spend.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so she's then back in London. She takes the train. All of that stuff with her mum, again, just genuinely properly tense and quite brilliant, I thought.
What, the when she does, when the mum goes up to the woman, you mean?
Yeah, that whole sort of segment, right from Ruby getting home to literally the mum closing the door and locking her out, like all of that I thought was mad, to be fair. Like, I was genuinely like, what I think has been really good about this season, or these episodes that we've got anyway, genuinely quite unpredictable. From Ruby being shot last week to, you know, the mum actually closing the door and locking out. Like, there was no, I know you said that you sort of worked it out. I had no idea what was happening throughout this episode. And it's not often Doctor Who, which is really a kid's show, gets me completely guessing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, true. I feel like it used to do that when we were kids, but nowadays you sort of seem to cotton on quite early.
Yeah, like Space Babies, I mean, you can kind of work out it's a monster and stuff. But this felt like it wasn't even a twist. It was just really unpredictable, I thought.
Yeah, you just didn't know what was going on, because at the end of the day, the first guy, that guy in the pub is the first guy that walks up to the woman, isn't he? Obviously, he has no link to Ruby. So this is what I don't get as well. What could the woman have said to him to make him run away? Because he doesn't know Ruby. So she couldn't have said something about Ruby to make him run away.
I don't know, but I kind of love
their own
it.
Lives. But then
in
it
my
links
head.
It has to be about Ruby, because then the woman in the pub says, I've told him that you're leaving now. He can come back to the pub.
Yeah, yeah.
So they
in
are
my
saying
head,
something about Ruby.
And this might not be true at all, but because she then time travels back, I wonder if she says something like, look at me, that's quite clearly me. Are you not scared of this? Like, something along those lines. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it could be.
But I don't know. But again, I kind of like that this bit's been left up to the imagination, because this bit's really inconsequential. So the mum disappears. There's a year time gap, which was totally took me by surprise, by the way, when she turns around and goes, oh, it was a year, you know, since I was disowned. And we get the Mad Kate cameo. Yeah. I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah, I didn't see that, to be fair.
And what a brief cameo as well.
Yeah. I was trying to think, I don't know why, I just had a weird feeling that they'd already met, but they didn't, did they? Kate had met the new Doctor, but not Millie. Kate back. Something I also said, someone decided to mention. You notice how she's introducing herself as Kate Lethbridge-Stewart now?
What does she used to introduce herself as?
Just Kate Stewart. She used to remove the Lethbridge because it was too related to her father.
Oh, I like that. Coming back to its past a little bit.
Yeah, it's just intriguing why. It just feels this whole series, something just don't feel right. I don't know. Something is throwing me towards like everyone's a Zygon or something. I don't know.
I totally agree with you. I think I messaged you at this point in the episode and said something's off with Kate. Like something.
Yeah.
On a second rewatch, I think she was a bit more normal. Again, though, the unpredictability. I thought, oh my God, sick. We're going to have a mad unit episode for the rest of the episode. And this is going to be where, you know, in the trailers, we've seen Rose running into unit, you know, Donna's daughter, Rose, running into unit. And we're going this way. And then when you see Kate, like, look around and say disengage, I was like, fuck, I don't know what's going to happen. This is madness.
Yeah, again, this is another thing that slightly frustrates me a bit. The whole bit when she gets unit to go up to the woman and bring her in, they all look around. You know, they're near her. I'm fine with that. They're near her. They've said something to her. they tell turn around and they're going to run away. But why does Kate do it as well? Kate is nowhere near her. How has it affected Kate this time?
She right, okay, so she's got an earpiece on, so she can clearly hear what they hear. But I do agree with you.
Do you
my
reckon it's
issue
just
with that
that?
is, well, yeah, but my issue is I don't think Kate would be stupid enough to be listening in on that conversation. You know, when she goes like,
Yeah,
oh,
I
we've got
agree.
psychic training and we've got this and we've got that. I think she'd be smart enough to let you know that you go and you try it with one person, then you try it with another person. You don't have the entire unit department listening in on the first fucking go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And the other fact is as well, we know at this point, this is the only other thing I have with the issue with the series as a whole. We don't know what sort of timeline we're on. But we know that Langford is working with UNIT at this point. Bonnie Langford's nowhere to be seen here. She would know that something's going on with Ruby and the 15th Doctor. So she's not there with Kate. If Kate then disappears or Kate's turned around and disengaged and not doing anything, Bonnie Langford would then come in and help out. She hasn't been involved at this point. So where's she in all this?
I don't know if I agree with you there. Like, really, all that's happened is one of the Doctor's ex-companions is seeing a woman 73 yards away. I would even argue that's not important enough to send Kate. And then because Kate's been infected by it, she's probably gone back and told Bonnie Langford, oh, yeah, you know, Ruby's a cunt or done all this and done all that. So there's no point in investigating further. But do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that solves it then. Sorry,
Maybe
that's
that's
just
what
Ruby
that old
affecting me.
lady's just saying. Oh, don't go back to her. She's a fucking cunt.
It's all right, we solved it. Let's end the episode now.
Right. Kate does say one very strange thing, though. She says, this time I might be suspended along your event.
Yeah, that is a big line for me.
Oh,
This is
yeah.
where I think this is like entering something towards some sort of multiverse or something.
Okay.
Yeah,
Care
or the
to
fact that it's a
elaborate?
different timeline, or I don't know. This is the thing. This is the issue with this whole series. There's so many questions I just don't know. Is that there's something that we haven't even talked about the snow yet. Like what happened with that?
What has happened with the snow? I don't know, man. I
Because
did
it
have a
starts at the
note.
start, it snows, and then I think I've got a couple of notes somewhere. It starts at the start, it snows, and then it never snows again. Or it
Yeah,
snows
so
once more, and then it never snows again.
it snows obviously while she's in Wales, but is that just because she's in Wales? Then it snows when her mum, her
Yeah.
stepmom, kicks her out and says, even your own mum left you. And then at the end, she
Yeah.
says, and it never snowed again. What's up with the snow?
I know, that's what I mean. Like, it's got to be. Oh, do you think it's the timeline leaking through or something? I don't know.
I don't
There's got to
know,
be different,
man.
something to do with timelines and stuff, isn't it?
But where's it all started?
Don't know. Or maybe the fact that this isn't just in a different order. So maybe at this point, Kate would have already met Ruby or something, because obviously they do meet in the final episode of this series. So maybe Kate knows that in another timeline she meets her again, but isn't going to meet her on, and then hasn't met the 15th Doctor again because he's disappeared.
I don't know,
Something like
man. There's also this whole supernatural thing. Kate even says the supernatural's becoming
that.
more relevant. And
I've got
obviously,
that as well.
Russell T. Davies has said this is going to be a more sort of fairy tale season, leaning into the supernatural. But why is like we genuinely don't know what else is going on.
I know, it's just that this is what I mean. There's just so many questions that I just don't know the answers to. And I don't feel like we're going to get the answers by the end of this series either. But this is what I love the most. You know, this is what I've missed from Doctor Who back in the day. So many questions, or
I'm going
some
to be
things you just don't even know until the
severely
last minute.
disappointed if these questions don't get answered by the end of the season. I'm happy they're not
No,
answered in
I
this,
wouldn't
or I'm
be.
fine with it not being answered in this episode. They have to be answered by the end of the season.
I'd give it a couple of seasons. You can have a story arc going over a couple of seasons, I think.
That's what went wrong with Jodie's era,
No, because in Jodie's era, it was only mentioned once and nobody had a clue what it meant. We've had
though.
a lot of hints here.
All right, yeah. So anything to add about this little Kate section that we have?
Yeah, so the only other bit I picked up on, and this is where I think I started to realise what was going on in this whole storyline, is when they're talking to each other and Ruby says, something on the lines of, if I cut her off or fly away or something, she might die or I might die. And that made me think that the two are connected, and I thought that they're linked, and that's how I kind of worked out to myself that that probably is Ruby in the future or something.
Nice. I genuinely didn't pick up on it at all, man. It totally took me by surprise at the end.
Yeah, that was just surprised I picked up on it, to be fair.
So we then have a little montage of Ruby's dating. She looks unreal with long hair, by the way. She looks unreal as a
Yeah, agree.
40-year-old.
Not that she looks 40 at all. The honestly, I've seen pictures of do you remember well, A, you've got the bit when Matt Smith's doctor goes old and he looks older, don't he? I know he looks, no, he's not 40, he's significantly older. But the other
Hundreds
one as
of
well
years
is, you know, when
after.
they find, yeah. You know the episode where they have the clone of Amy and Amy's a little bit older? You can like physically tell she's
Oh,
older, she looks older. Ruby does not look older. She's got different hair and a pair of glasses. Like that is all they've
It
done to her. That bugs
is
me a little
wild.
bit.
They even make Clara old at one point as well in a Peter Capaldi episode. Yeah, so just
Yeah, they do
odd that
actually.
they didn't do here, but they didn't really need to. Do you know what I mean? Save a bit on that budget.
They've got a Disney budget now, though. Come on, this is the best budget we've ever had. Like, put a bit of prosthetic on or something.
So we then cut to Roger App William or whatever his name is. It even took me, I think they flash back to the doctor. It took me that long to realize that that's what we're dealing with here. He's really upsetting.
What, the Prime Minister?
Yeah, like the actor or the character, there's something really off about him, don't you think?
It seemed very weird around, because in my opinion, right, this episode, the villain of this episode, or the, well, yeah, the villain of this episode for me is the woman. She's the thing that's making it creepy. This is what we're fighting against, what we're going for. But it feels like now the minister guy, and this is who she's got to stop to save the world. And then there was just other things as well around, I mean, I'm skipping on a little bit, but there was a thing around Marty
Yeah,
and
we'll
his
talk about
involvement with
that in a bit, I
Marty.
think. Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird as well, and I just sort of feel like they were making him out to be a villain to just sort of rush the story along a bit, I think.
I think it's okay. I think that's the twist of the episode, right? Is that she's not this creepy old lady, isn't the bad person. She's actually the one that's here to help.
Yeah.
What I don't get about that is if that's why she's here, why didn't she disappear afterwards? Like once that was done. And also, what an
What, once
oddly,
she'd gone on the football pitch?
yeah, once she'd scared the Prime Minister off. Also, what an oddly specific way of saving that situation. Like he could have died, he could have teleported, he could have been mind controlled. What an oddly specific way of saving it. Why
No,
73
I thought
yards?
it roped in pretty well. The fact that
Really?
she twigged, yeah, I thought she twigged on. It was a whole episode, 73 yards at the end of the day. She twigged on. And then at the end of the day, it's the only way, unless she's going to go and physically kill the bloke, which she's not going to do. She's a doctor's companion. It was the only way she could get rid of him herself.
Okay, I have one more question on that, but we'll save it until the end. Yeah,
Okay.
I think Roger, I think his accent isn't quite right. I think he's doing a bit of British and a bit of Welsh, and I think that was really unsettling me. His hair, his suit, all of it, I think is just made to make you feel uncomfortable. He's wearing the same outfit throughout the entire thing. Every jump, he's wearing the same outfit, which I thought was quite interesting.
That is quite interesting. Bear in mind, they have
There's
so many different outfits for the Doctor and Millie.
There's the bit where he's being interviewed once she's the coat hanger person, and he's talking about like, will you fire the Lord? And he just looks around and he goes, we'll cut that bit out, and it all goes so even that's fucking creepy, man.
Yeah, that was creepy. But that's obviously because he's in an interview and he doesn't want people to know he's going to push the button. That's the whole thing. That's the whole reason he's going to get in. That's why he's the worst Prime Minister, because he gets in and presses the button.
Just felt so strange. I think they did a really good job at making him the villain for me.
Yeah. The
Right,
thing, the biggest thing
go
I have
on.
with this is I just felt like you. I know you spoke about this episode being in two halves the whole time. And I agree, it is in two halves. And I feel like the first half ends after Kate, and then it changes. Or maybe it ends. Maybe it ends after the pub scene. I don't know. But for me, it feels like the first half is more of three quarters of it, and then they just rush to the last quarter. I feel like this episode could have been so much better as a two-parter.
Okay, fair enough. But I don't think it needed to be a two-parter. But I do get what you're saying.
There probably isn't enough for it to be a two-parter. It would then drag it out. But I just think it's too rushed at the end.
Yeah, I hear you. But I think, like, you don't really need to spend any more time on this ending bit, do you? What would you like to see more? What would you like to see more?
We jumped 20 years in the future, like, very quickly, within probably, like, 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, but I think that's...
It's probably 5 minutes. Like,
I think the significance behind that is that nothing happened for those 20 years. They went by in a flash because they weren't important. What is important is that, what's important is that Ruby's always, this has been Ruby's purpose from the beginning.
No, but for me, I think this is where the rushing it causes an issue, because imagine you're Ruby and you've got someone standing 73 yards away from you all the time, every day. How could you do that for 20 years? I couldn't. I'd have gone to more people for help. You know, you'd have gone to the police. You'd have gone back to unit to try and speak to someone. You'd maybe have then found out about Torchwood and gone to Torchwood. You'd have spoke to more people and got more help.
But again, I take that as maybe she did in those 20 years, but it always had the same outcome, so it's not important.
I think it would have added a bit more to it.
I think the fact that we saw it happen to a stranger, we saw it happen to a family member, and we saw it happen to unit, I think that's enough. That's enough information to say it doesn't matter who she goes to, the same outcome is going to happen. We're not going to waste any more minutes showing you her going to other people and the same thing happening. For me, I think that's fine from a storytelling point of view.
What about there being other solutions? Why? What about if she hired... I know you couldn't do this in Doctor Who, but she hired someone to kill the woman, right? There would be other options.
But she's too scared of that because she subconsciously knows it's her. Otherwise, she'd got on a plane, she'd have got on a boat.
Yeah, but that doesn't even matter. Getting on a plane or a boat wouldn't matter because she'd still follow.
No, but she'd be 73 yards away, so she'd be in the sea or in the air. So she'd be falling to death or drowning to death, no?
No, this woman isn't real. This isn't a real person. She wouldn't...
I don't know, man. I don't know. But then if she's not going to drown or fall to death, she's not going to die by sniper or something, is she?
Yeah, but this is the point. I don't think she would be falling. She would just be floating in the air while she's on a plane or something like that. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
She can fall or... But then the same thing, she probably can't be shot then. So, yeah, we have debunked that. But, yeah, I don't know.
Right, anyway.
It just felt rough.
Let's move on then to Marty, who I did think felt rushed, to be fair.
I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the point of Marty.
Yeah, so first time I watched it, I was like, right, he's just sexually abusing her. That was the way I took it straight away. I think she's got a black eye at one point. She calls him a monster. Ruby turns around and says, I'm so sorry it took so long. I was like, okay, he was sexually abusing her. It's just a way to show she was a monster. He was a monster. Second time I watched it, mate, and I don't know if you got this, but I'd quite like you to rewatch it if you didn't. I wonder if she's also a time traveler.
Marty?
Yeah.
Why?
Because there's something about the way she's interacting with Ruby that makes me think she knows more. She's already aware of who this girl is. Ruby is aware of who this girl is. This girl is awkward and weird and sort of has a bad feeling about the Prime Minister, but is still volunteering for him and supporting him. The bit when Ruby gets up and says, the bit when Ruby gets up and says, I'm so sorry it took so long, I had to be sure, that felt odd as well. And I get it, she could have just known about the sexual abuse and not done anything and that, but that seems too dark for Doctor Who, no?
Yeah, but again, this is the whole thing. I feel if that was a sexual abuse sort of mention, and again, I think Doctor Who hasn't done it justice enough. You should be helping Marty more. Like, you should be going to the police.
That's what I'm saying.
That.
No,
Why
exactly.
Why did she have to do it herself?
Could you imagine we have a companion that knew someone was being sexually assaulted and didn't do anything about it?
Exactly, yeah.
That feels odd. So that's why I think maybe she's a time traveler. And then there's the bit at the end when he's talking to that woman just as he's running away. She starts cracking up in hysterical laughter like she knows what's happening. And then, and okay,
really?
Maybe
who does?
This Marty, she starts Marty. Laughing. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe okay. It's because she's realized she's free from him. She knows what's happening.
But how the hell would she know what's happening?
Yeah, true, I guess so.
There's something about that that just on the second watch, I was like, is she like another version of this woman or another version of Rue? Something, I don't know, man. I think there's the potential there that she could be maybe from another timeline or another multiverse or something.
This is the thing,
oh,
though. This
that's
episode,
the, no, one
so
more
weird.
Thing on that. One more thing on that, if that's okay. When the three of them, Ruby, Marty, and the black guy sat on the in the stands, and the black guy says, oh, he's getting the codes on Saturday, Marty immediately turns around and goes, Saturday's when he'll launch. And it's, again, it just felt
but
a bit
I've seen
like...
Is that not because she's been close to this guy because of the abuse and stuff, and she now knows what he's doing?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I think there's enough
This
there
is the
that
thing.
she
This
could be
episode
something.
is... Yeah, this episode is so weird that I feel like we're now questioning every single thing, every piece of information, and it's like nothing has any answers to it. There is no reasoning behind any of these things. It's just part of the weird episode.
Okay, so we're getting into the end of the episode. So all of those unanswered questions, I think I'm okay. I'm happy to not know what she's saying to the people. I'm happy to not know what the sign language says.
We do know what the sign language says.
But I would have been happy to not know it. I'm happy to not know about Marty. I'm happy to not know what happens to the people that run away. The thing I think they need to answer is how this whole time loop things works. Because it's the whole... Like, listen, I know this is where we're going to sound our most geeky, right? But Doctor Who has basically trained us to understand what a paradox is. And if you go back and if you change the events, then it never happens. So that's what a paradox is, right? So Ruby becomes this old lady and then is sent back on her timeline to scare people away so that she can eventually scare the Prime Minister away. But that as soon as she goes back, she stops the Doctor from stepping on the thing in the first place.
Yeah, so the whole thing doesn't happen.
So the whole thing doesn't happen. But just before the Doctor steps on it, he brings up Roger again.
Yeah, so Roger, in my opinion, would be a fixed point in time. That thing that he does when launching on the 2046, that is a fixed point, I would say. That can't change. But the fact of Ruby being involved in it all and saving the Doctor then just is wiped.
Oh, so you think this whole episode is a paradox that's written out?
Yeah, basically.
So this whole episode wasn't supposed to happen, basically?
Yeah, this is the paradox, basically.
I like that. I genuinely hadn't thought about
that. It has
that.
To be.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. Yeah. Because she also comes out of the TARDIS and says, I've been here three times. Then the Doctor starts talking about Roger. Then, before she has a chance to say what the third thing is, she's stopped from stepping on the thing. Mate, that's it. You've sussed it.
Gone,
that makes perfect sense now, yeah.
Because she says the third time is now. This is the third time. So she has, when she says at the start, she says, I've been here three times, she hasn't. She's been here twice, and this is the third time.
Yeah. No. That's
the time never existed. Yeah.
So the Doctor was never supposed to step on that fairy circle,
fairy
and that
circle
caused a paradox that is then fixed at the end by Ruby going back in time, telling the Doctor not to step on it.
Yeah.
I'm, mate, you have absolutely solved that for me then. That is now, in my head, that is now a closed loop. I am happy with all the questions and answers that were given in this episode. And this, for me, genuinely, 9 out of 10.
Really?
9 out of 10. I now want to rewatch this for a third time.
See, this is the thing. I really enjoyed this the first time, and I'd have said this was up there with Boom. And I think I gave Boom a 9 out of 10. Mate, I think I overstayed 8.5. But then after a second rewatch, I think I'm now just picking at it too much, and I'm annoying myself about it. But I still do think it is a great episode. But I'm going to probably give it just under Boom, so probably eight and a half. If I give Boom 9, but it's
this
eight
is
and a half, just
this
a
is leap and bounds above Boom for me. This isn't even like in the same series. But I'm genuinely looking back and I'm saying this is on par with Midnight. Like, I think it's vague it's enough like that it's exciting. It's directed brilliantly. It's acted brilliantly. It looks beautiful as well. Every single shot in this just looked amazing. It looked like you were watching a movie. And the story was brilliant. And I'm now going to rewatch
I'll tell you
with that whole Paradox thing. And I genuinely believe this is a 9 for me. You've sold me on it completely.
So, you know, the acting in that is great. And I think Millie Gibson is probably up there with one of the best companions in Doctor Who, I think, at this point. And she's barely even been in it that much. I think as an actress, she's class. Like, she is top quality.
Yeah.
And something that I found out again from watching Doctor Who Confidential, which makes this even madder, this is her first scenes film in series. Like, she did none of this with Shooty. She'd done it all on her own, because Shooty was still filming Sex Education. She'd done this all on her own, and then the other bits were added in after.
That's why he's not in it, right? Got you.
And from what I don't know if this was filmed before the Christmas special. I think it must have been, because when they basically say this is her first time being like the solo like actress. Everyone's eyes were on her on set. It was all about her. And she'd never been a part of something big like this before.
That's wild, because she genuinely did smash this.
Yeah, she did smash this. Yeah, fair play to her.
I came into this podcast and I was genuinely going to tell you that this is going to fall one of two ways for me. If this is a standalone episode and none of these questions get answered, this is a hate it for me if we're to use our old rating system. But if the questions get answered later in the series, then it's going to be a love it for me. But you have genuinely just explained this to me in a way that actually...
I had to do that. I thought you'd get it.
I really, honestly, mate, I really, really didn't. So this is now closed off in a really nice bow as a standalone episode for me. And this is honestly, this is the best episode of Doctor Who without a doubt since the Capaldi era. I would say it's better than, for me, it's better than a lot of episodes in the Capaldi era, to be fair. Really fucking enjoyed this. I really, really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't think it's quite as good as that, but I do think it's still a good, solid episode. I don't think it's going to relate at all. I don't think we're going to find anything else out about this episode, apart from the little things that have been going on, like Susan Twist, the snow, and Mrs. Flood. That's all I think will relate to it.
But now I'm fine with it. Even that's why the Doctor disappeared. The Doctor disappeared because this is a paradox universe, or this is a paradox timeline. The Doctor can't exist in a paradox timeline. I'm happy with all of that. She can't get in the TARDIS. Yeah. The TARDIS has locked itself off because it doesn't want to fuck with the paradox.
That's actually a good point. Didn't think of that.
Yeah,
that's a great show.
Genuinely, this is now all clicked into place because you've told me that it's like a paradox.
This is it. I'm going to be on the official Doctor Who podcast now. I can't wait. Sorry, I'm going big time.
Like, genuinely, I tell you what lets it down. Even though we've just decided that it's a big paradox. No, do you know what? It even feels like a Doctor Who episode, even though the Doctor's not in it.
I don't know if I'd agree with that. I don't know.
It does. Nothing I think you've got enough of UNIT. I think you've got enough bits of UNIT and you've got enough paradoxical stuff going on. There's enough time jump. Honestly, do you know what this is a bit like? This is like if we were watching Blink from the point of view of someone that gets sent back in time.
Yeah.
In a weird sort of fucked up way. It's not quite the same, but it's a little bit similar to that. Like, they're going through it the long way round. Ruby has to wait the 25 years to get to the point in time that she needs to be at. Like,
basically, yeah.
Hey, honestly, I'm sold. I'm glad we did this. I was about to sack this off as well.
No, genuinely, I've never been this buzzing about Doctor Who. Like, I'm quite glad we didn't do reviews in the first three episodes, like proper podcasts. But these last two episodes have been class, and even the second one was pretty good.
Well, speaking of, what did you think of the Next Time trailer?
Dot and Bubble. I think it's a bit. It's going to be a bit of a filler episode, I'd say, probably. I don't think it's going to show much.
Do you think it's going to be a Dr. Light episode?
No, they won't do two in one series. The Doctor's in this one. I do feel like I'm worried that this whole episode is going to be like in a screen, though. Although that does then back your TV theory. That's a little foreshadow to your TV theory.
Have you, did you ever watch Black Mirror?
A couple of episodes, maybe, yeah.
Right, maybe this week, if you get the chance, watch an episode called Nosedive. Like, just very, very similar to what we see in this next time trailer. I wonder if it's going to be playing off it. Like, genuinely, like, if you get the time, just give it a watch. Because even the way it looks and the screens and the friends and all that sort of stuff, almost identical. I've seen a few people draw the comparison on, like, the socials as well. I don't know if I like the look of it.
This is the thing as well. I think with 73 Yards, it was very, very hyped up as an episode. You know, Russell would turn around and say, this is the best thing he's ever written. And I think it's good. I don't think it's the best thing he's ever written, but it is good. Now, what I've now heard about this next episode is apparently the final scene that's performed by Shooty is going to blow people's minds, and it's really good. Like, it's a life-changing scene or something.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what that involves or what it is, but I think I'm worried it's going to be some sort of just like message to people about life or something, I don't know, something weird like that. But
yeah, do you reckon it's like a get off your social media sort of messages?
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah.
I haven't seen any sort of promotion. I'm sort of not really watching the trailers. Funnily enough, I watched one very little 10 second clip of Russell T. Davis talking about 73 Yards. And all he said was, pay attention to the scrolls at the beginning of the episode because they're very important. But I couldn't even work that out. Like, I'm not sure I trust anything he says at the minute. I really don't.
Pay attention to the scrolls at the beginning of the next episode.
As in at the beginning of 73 Yards.
So the rest of I miss you.
Well, I don't know what he's talking about. It was on the I'll send it to you. I'm sure I watched it on the BBC Instagram thing.
What season are we on, by the way? Season 15?
Technically season 14, but slash season one. I've just sent it to you. Have a just have a watch of it whilst you're on. We've still got a few minutes. I'll cut it out if I have to. He talks about Swansea Pier is 73 yards. Lots of Welsh actors and actresses, blah, blah, blah. Very boring. Best of all, Dane Shan Phillips. I don't even know who Shan Phillips is. She's the bartender, presumably.
Oh.
It's spooky, it's strange. Genuinely unlike any other episode we've done before. I agree with that. Found ourselves fascinated by making this. We had to test so much and get it exactly right. I hope you enjoy it. It's very strange. It's 73 yards is significantly important. I would say pay attention to the scrolls at the beginning. And you might wonder what the messages mean. Oh, rest in peace, Mad Jack. Oh, yeah, fine. So actually, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, so I feel like it's... I still feel like it's related to the fact that because of that submits, those messages have been created alongside the lines of Ruby. Or Ruby, it's like Ruby's written them. Because she says, I miss you, and she misses the Doctor. But then why would she put rest in peace, Mad Jack? Mad Jack hasn't... This is the other thing I still don't... Mad Jack, like, the Prime Minister guy was called Mad Jack before, but didn't die. So why is it rest in peace, Mad Jack?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a little bit odd, isn't it?
Weird, isn't it?
But again, I'm kind of fine with it.
It's, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, lots of questions.
You don't know everything about the Midnight Creature, so why do you need to know everything about this one?
Yeah, but that is just a creature. That is just what's outside. That's one thing. I feel like there's just a lot of variables here that we don't know.
But it doesn't matter because it's all in a paradox.
Yeah, true. None of it exists anymore, I guess. So.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. Right, listen, we're wrapping it up there. We'll be back Friday. I'm going to put this up pretty much straight away. So this should come live Sunday evening, Monday morning. We'll be back on Friday with Fires of Pompeii. And then you'll see us again next Sunday, Monday for Dot and Bubble.
The Ood one. Oh, yeah.
No, that will then be the following thing. Yeah, then it's the Ood one.
Yeah.
Right, thanks for coming, Bradley.
That was mental, to be fair. No, just before we sign off, we've literally only got two solo episodes and then a two-part finale, and then we're done.
I know, that is a bit mad there, isn't it?
New series. Yeah.
New series will be next year. Have they given a release date yet?
No, but I'm guessing it'll be every year now. We've got obviously the Christmas special by Moffat that's coming.
Oh yeah, and hopefully we'll get some more episodes next year. That'd be good.
Yeah, I reckon 10 to 12 would be pretty solid. We used to get 14, didn't we?
Yeah, about 14, I think. Right, anyway, I've got to go to bed. Thanks for coming, Bradley Fuller, and adios amigos.
Adios amigos.